Dr. Bill Lampton is the president of Championship Communication in Gainesville. He has also directed crisis communication or media relations seminars for leading organizations. And he can tell us what every organization should do before, during, and after a highly publicized catastrophe. And if this all sounds familiar, it's because a very highly publicized catastrophe has been in the news for months now, and that is the BP oil spill. Good morning, Dr. Lampton.
Good morning, Katie. It's great to be with you and WDN listeners on the local hour.
So glad you're here with us. Now tell us, what should an organization do before a tragedy or a catastrophe strikes? So before it even happens, what should we do to prepare?
The main thing an organization should do ahead of time, Katie, is to make sure that they are cultivating media relations with key people. Sometimes when I conduct a seminar on crisis communication, I make this comparison. I say that if we wait until we need the media to get acquainted with them, that's like flossing our teeth the night before we go to the dentist.
Right.
And we haven't done it all year long. And there are many things that we can do which are not very time-consuming or expensive. For example, we can invite media relations people to events at our organization, special openings, give them tours, also include them in on committees. And then, of course, we know that media relations people, like anybody else, enjoy being invited out for lunch without any particular agenda. Keep them posted on what's happening with the organization. Give them press releases. Don't let anything just during the regular course of operations be a surprise to them.
You know, how important is it to have one key person that's sort of your liaison between the company and the media? And this is why I'm asking this. I don't want to give away who these two entities are, but we have two, say it's two competing poultry companies in the area. One of them has a PR person and the other one doesn't. We are constantly doing news stories about one of these organizations because the PR person is feeding us stuff, and whenever there's a catastrophe for the poultry industry, we're usually turning to that one as a source because they have a person that is in constant communication with our organization, and the other one isn't. Now that isn't the case. It's not a poultry company, but it is two sort of competing entities that you could say, and it does make a real difference, the one that does have that relationship versus the one that doesn't.
It's an excellent illustration, Katie. In fact, one thing that we can say here is that an organization needs to recognize what your job is in the media. Your job is to keep up with the news. Okay, if they help you do that, then when it comes time for you to assist them in clarifying what's going on during a highly public crisis, then you're much more amenable to doing that.
Something else that we can do before a catastrophe or tragedy strikes is you talk about a written crisis communication plan. What does that include?
Well, in the first place, let me say that most organizations fail by not having one, and then when something happens, they just have to scramble and, as we say, fly by the seat of their pants, go impulsively, and the results can be disastrous. Every organization should have a written crisis communication plan. One of the things it would say is, who is going to be the spokesperson for the organization? If you have everybody being the spokesperson, then you've got no unified message. You have to clue the organization in on the fact that there can only be that one spokesperson. For example, if the person who answers the telephone for the organization gets a call during a crisis, and that person who's answering the call says, yeah, you know, we got a real mess over here, or this is a tragedy for sure, then whatever the CEO or other leader says is going to be diluted because this person has already spoken for the organization. So you must say, who is the spokesperson for the organization? You also should have a good plan in your crisis communication written plan about what a press conference will be like, who will be included, what will be the setting for it. And also make sure that you arrange to have the press conference videotaped. And this way, later on, somebody can't say, well, on television or on radio, you said, oh, no. They can't say that because you've got the backup of what you really said in full. And this is particularly helpful if they start talking about something which might have been one sentence or one paragraph out of your comments.
Dr. Lambton, talking about press conferences, I think all of us can remember that Tiger Woods press conference that happened on a Friday afternoon, and it was some time after he had that accident, and all these rumors came to surface about his mistresses. You say that it's important for a company to act as soon as possible when a crisis or catastrophe hits. Why is that so crucial to act so fast?
Because if you don't act quickly, immediately, then somebody else gets the initiative. You need to take the initiative. And also, if you don't act quickly, it looks like you have something to hide. The delay in Tiger Woods' case just got the rumor mill going that much more. And, of course, one of the problems with the, I'll call it an alleged press conference, one of the problems with the press conference that he did hold was it was not really a press conference because the press had no opportunity to ask questions, to even comment. And for that reason, it was very interesting, Katie, that the Golf Writers Association of America boycotted that press conference. They didn't show up because they felt, no, we don't get our own input. We're not going to be there. So if you have a press conference, hold it immediately and be open about it and be responsive.
You know, I don't feel like you can't tell the truth here because I know that I am a member of the media, but it sounds like there's a lot of distrust between companies, organizations, even individuals and the media. But it sounds like to you it's in folks' best benefit to be as open and communicative with the media as possible in these types of situations. Why do you think there's such a disparity between what can be helpful to your organization and then how people actually act when it comes to dealing with the media?
It's just uninformed fear. People who have dealt with the media directly, they've cultivated relationships with them, they've been honest and upfront when trouble happens, they give them full information, they answer their questions, they don't have problems with the media. It's those who try to withdraw, to act like nothing has happened. And of course, if we don't want to talk about problems with the media, we could talk about Tony Hayward and BP for quite a while.
Yeah, you know, let's go ahead and get to that. He talked about something he said, I believe, was, you know, I'm ready to get back to my life.
I want my life back.
I want my life back. What did that do to this organization and to this catastrophe that BP was already a part of?
It was a horrible statement. And the immediate response from those who heard it was, well, guess what? The 11 people who lost their lives in that April oil rig explosion, they would love to have their lives back too. And this reminds us that any comment that you make during something that's open to the press, you have to be extremely careful. And one of the things that you must do is to always emphasize the human side of any problem and how concerned you are about that. I was interested this morning, Katie, I went back and looked, and it's available on YouTube and elsewhere, at Tony Hayward's interview before Congress, and it was fascinating to read after that, after watching it, some of the comments of the British press, not just the American press, but the British press made comments like this. They said, he looked like a tired undertaker who was rather bored. He lacked he had the communication skills of a tax inspector, and his tone was like that of a registrar in a South London crematorium. And it's no wonder that they started calling him Tony Baloney.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Dr. Bill Lambton, president of Championship Communications in Gainesville, about what every organization should do before, during, and after a highly publicized catastrophe. Dr. Lambton, what is wrong with saying no comment?
What's wrong with that is it's evasive. They're wondering why you won't comment. And there's a wonderful substitute for it. And it can be a very straightforward, honest statement. And that is, we can't answer that now because we're still gathering information on it. And when we have those facts, we will get back to you. And believe me, Katie, when you say that to the media, you'd better follow through on it because they're going to follow through for sure if you don't. So prove to them that, yes, you were simply gathering the information. Never say no comment. And along with that, don't ever dilute the truth. Some people say, well, we can tell a little white lie here or a little white lie there and cover the story that way a little bit. No, because a little white lie can mushroom into a huge loss of trust. And even one misleading remark can start what's called a media feeding frenzy, and justifiably so.
You know, we've talked a lot and focused a lot on Tony Hayward with VP, but there are just tons and tons of employees under him. What should BP be telling all of their employees, from the people directly under Tony Hayward to folks that are cleaning up the spill now on the Gulf?
Again, of course, now Tony Hayward has been relieved of full responsibility as a spokesperson. He's been replaced. All of the employees should be told again that only the leader is the spokesperson for the organization. Even if that leader makes the mistakes that Tony Hayward was, at least it's a consistent message.
After a public crisis like this, how can the company rebuild credibility? And we look back at other recent catastrophes. We're talking about Tiger Woods. You know, there was that big crisis with Toyota and having some faulty parts associated with that. And it seems like they're starting to build back their brand a little bit. And now here's BP. What can they do to kind of turn this around?
One of the things that they can do is to talk specifically about the steps that have been taken to correct the problem. In fact, if I were BP, if I were the head of BP right now, I would be mentioning that 41,000 payments have already been made out of 80,000 claims from people who have suffered economically. And as we know, $20 billion has been put into an escrow fund. I heard this morning that BP is spending $100 million per day on the cleanup. So mention all the things that you have done and that you're going to continue to do. And if you're in any other type of organization and you've had a crisis, bring people in after the event to show them that the operations are still going smoothly. For example, let's say that you'd had an establishment that was destroyed by a fire, or most of it was destroyed by a fire. Well, when you have your reopening, make a big to-do out of that. Bring in the press. Bring in all sorts of community leaders. Have an open house. Have a tour to show that everything's back to normal.
So it sounds like overall, be prepared, tell the truth, work with the media, not against them. Dr. Bill Lampton, tell folks if they want more information about these and other tips for communicating well, where they can go to find out, a website or a phone number perhaps?
I appreciate that, Katie. My website is championshipcommunication.com, www.championshipcommunication.com. My direct line is 678-316-4300. Again, 678-316-4300.
Dr. Bill Lampton, president of Championship Communications in Gainesville, we will certainly have you back on the program another time. Thank you.
I look forward to it. Thank you, Katie. Have a great day.
To you, too. We are going to be checking in with Ken Stanford, an interview that he did a while back ago with a Ford dealership. He's going to have that for us in just a moment when we return on the Local Hour.